any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, and I gotta say, we're all gonna need a lot of help. Anyone who thought Sean Penn had a brain in his head has gotta be shaking theirs after he went on Hannity and declared the U.S. mustn't be intimidated from using nukes against Russia over Ukraine. This is absolutely incredible. The man is a complete and total moron. Sean Penn went on Hannity Tuesday night arguing America must not be intimidated from using nuclear weapons against Russia over the conflict in Ukraine. After Hannity said Ukraine should have never given up their nukes, Penn responded, "Even countries that have nukes can remain intimidated to use them, and we're seeing that now with our own country. I fear what that legacy is going to be." No one wants to see a nuclear conflict at the same time. If only one bully is going to be able to use them as a threat, we've got to rethink what we're doing, Penn said. While Sean was in concurrence and said he didn't want to see a nuclear conflict, less than 2 weeks ago he said the U.S. must be willing to nuke Russia off the face of the earth if they use weapons of mass destruction in Ukraine and mustn't cower in fear over the prospect of a global nuclear holocaust triggered by mutually assured destruction. Does he even understand what he's saying? Mutually assured destruction means both sides get wiped out. So he's asking us to commit suicide over Ukraine, which is a cesspool of inequity, grotesque corruption, up the gazelle, where the Ukrainians have been slaughtering those in the Donbass and Lugansk region since the coup in 2014. Both their statements are supreme idiocy, as a threat of nuclear annihilation is a constant for both of our nations. Ukraine had every opportunity to make peace with Russia and declare itself a neutral country, but instead, as Zelensky regime threatened to acquire nukes, took billions in arms shipments and insisted on pushing to join NATO. Believe me, this is not going to happen, meaning, hell, he may get his wish to have a nuclear holocaust. This whole conflict could have been easily avoided if Ukraine and the regime in Washington had listened to folks like John Mearsheimer, but instead they kept poking the bear. Penn, Hannity, the rest of the neocons demanding the U.S. enter World War III over this conflict should all be forced to register as foreign agents. This is by Chris Minahan on Information Liberation. This is a really smart guy. I'm getting really sick of these neocon trash demanding the U.S. kick off a nuclear apocalypse just because a precious puppet state of corrupt oligarchs they serve is now facing the consequences of its own foolish action. Now get this. Three U.S. intel officers tell NBC News the intelligence Biden released on Russia-Ukraine was made up. NBC News Wednesday, this is a day following Sean Penn's appearance on Hannity, casually admitted the intelligence Biden released claiming Russia was playing a false flag as a pretext to invade Ukraine was totally made up. who also claims that chemical weapons are Russia asking China for help. Apparently, it was all made up. NBC's Ken Dillahunty, one of the Biden regime most loyal stenographers, tried his best to spin this in a positive light. It doesn't have to be solid intelligence when we talk about it. It's more important to get ahead of them, Putin specifically, before they do something. It's preventative, a U.S. intel official told NBC News. Truly unbelievable. Recall, Associated Press reporter Matt Lee called out the State Department spokesman Ned Price over claims Russia was playing a false flag in order to invade neighboring Ukraine. In February, the Biden administration claimed there was intel indicating Russia was going to use crisis actors to carry out a false flag event before invading Ukraine. By the way, think of Zelensky himself as a crisis actor. The guy is an actor. The guy is a stooge. The guy is a propagandist. Think of him that way, and you get a better sense of what's going on. But AP reporter Matt Lee wasn't buying any of it and ripped into the department spokesman. We have information indicating Russia has also already prepositioned a group of operatives to conduct a false flag in eastern Ukraine. So that is an action Russia has already taken, said Ned Price. Matt Lee wasn't buying it and accused the State Department of fabricating evidence. Good for him. He's performing an act of journalism, very rare these days. You have shown no evidence to confirm that. I mean, is this like crisis actors, really? Is this like Alex Jones territory you're getting into? Pretty stunning stuff. Here's more serious developments. Putin has new plans for Ukraine now. This is honest news. Retired United States General Wesley Clark, who once served, by the way, as Supreme Commander of Allied Forces Europe, meaning he was in the past the commanding general of NATO. He also, in 2007 at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, revealed the plan the administration had to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, which was, of course, always the agenda that drove 9/11. But Wesley Clark stood tall and reported it. He is, in my opinion, by and large, an honorable man. Retired General Wesley Clark suggested over the weekend the Russian Federation is planning what's known as an envelopment of Ukrainian troops who are currently holding back Russian forces and separatists in the eastern Donbass region. Speaking to CNN, Clark said Russian troops are currently north and south of the city Dnipro and that the city is going to be the next key objective for Russian fighters. This now, mind you, is a military analysis, and he ought to be pretty good at it. If they can drive to Dnipro, they'll cut off the Ukrainian forces holding back the separatists in the Donbass. This is the next Russian objective, to do an envelopment of these forces, cut them off, and annihilate them. He said if the Russians can do this, they'll have taken out a substantial part of the Ukrainian army. According to the retired general, the best way to stop Russian troops from successfully surrounding Ukrainian, as they had to the eastern head to the eastern parts of the country, is to ensure Ukrainian forces have access to heavy fighting equipment, which is lucky, given the U.S. just confirmed an additional $300 million aid to Ukraine made up almost entirely of military hardware. Count on the Russians taking it out as soon as they find its location, just as they have in the past with massive stashes of military equipment and mercenaries and a couple of missile attacks they've executed with great precision. The Department of Defense also announced the agency will help facilitate the transfer of Soviet-made tanks from Poland to Ukraine. To prevent Russia from winning in what could be the final weeks of this war, Ukrainian fighters will need as much help as they can get from NATO. But will President Putin see the transfer of tanks and aircraft from NATO countries to Ukraine as an act of war? And might this start World War III? If I were Putin, I'd certainly see it as aiding and abetting the enemy. Meanwhile, And this is a story that may drive World War III. This is the reason I'm extremely apprehensive. This is a classic example of disinformation. Published on the UNS Review, Nick Griffin writes about the mainstream media's Bush a tall tale. This is what I refer to not as a Bush a massacre, but as a Bush a bullshit. The Bush a massacre has now become the driving force for the propaganda push for even more NATO involvement in the conflict in Ukraine. Yet the claim that this is a Russian war crime is so patently false, the rational observer can only be left astounded by the combination of barefaced nerve and slapdash incompetence displayed by the media outlets and politician pushing this disgusting smear. He's got it exactly right. The latest effort of the Western media to deny Russian rebuttals is a claim that satellite photos show the bodies were there for weeks. Far from proving the case against Russian troops, however, the new assertion raises yet more questions that undermine the Western story. The satellite photos certainly appear to show bodies, but they also show no sign of the burnt-out cars, which are such a prominent feature of the ground photos and videos. Are we supposed to believe these vehicles were carefully driven in and positioned between the corpses after the shooting spree? A similar suspension of belief is required when considering the dates involved. The Bucha massacre entry in Wikipedia, which we know is a politically biased entity outlet, reads as follows. On April 4th, satellite images were provided to the New York Times by Maxar Technology. The Times compared images to video evidence and concluded, many of the civilians were killed more than 3 weeks ago when Russia's military was in control of the town. Images of Yablonska Street show at least 11 dark objects of similar size to a human body appearing between 9 March and 11 March. Wiki also tells us Ukrainian troops re-entered Bush on April 1st following redeployment of Russian forces to southeastern Ukraine. Now, Maxar Technologies is a major contractor for NASA, which is, of course, an integral part of the NATO military-industrial complex. In fact, I think it's very reasonable to infer that the National Aeronautics and Space Administration is, in fact, a branch of the CIA. As such, its assertion with regard to the conduct of the conflict have to be regarded with caution. That said, Maxar's dates of 9 to 11 March seem to be causing some concern in mainstream media outlets promoting the Russian massacre claim. The Maxar date should indeed raise eyebrows. The idea that bodies could lie in the open air for 3 whole weeks without undergoing massive decay is only remotely credible because the average Westerner thinks Ukraine is in some kind of winter weather deep freeze in late March. Yet a look at the weather data for Kiev for March of 2022 reveals there has not been a single day in the city, of which Bucha is a suburb, with temperatures below freezing since March 11th. The average daily temperature the last few days of the month was 6 degrees centigrade, same as the English city of Leeds. That average, in turn, of course, includes highs in the spring sunshine. The weather graph for Kiev for the last week shows this situation very clearly, with temperatures up to 15 to 17 degrees Celsius. And, you know, it's like 28 degrees higher on the Fahrenheit scale. Anyone who walked past an animal killed and left on the road for a few days under such condition will be able to imagine the appalling stench which would come from so many human bodies left in the spring sunshine for 3 weeks. Yet not one of the Ukrainian soldiers or police shown examining the bodies can be seen wearing a mask, making any expression of revulsion or mentioning the smell, which would have been overwhelming. As more graphic images have emerged of the victim, the evident freshness of the corpse seems to have prompted a revision of the dates of the alleged Russian massacre. By 5 April, for example, The Daily Mail's lead story was claiming the satellite photos showing the bodies on the road were taken on 19 March. No explanation was given for the 10-day change. But even accepting the revised timeline, there's still the problem that none of the bodies shown in videos or photos has any signs of decay or damage from carrion eaters, such as dogs. In order to believe the accounts and videos put up by Kiev and the Western media, it's also necessary to believe that Ukraine has no stray dogs, no rats, not a single crow or other carnivorous bird, which is, of course, completely preposterous. So the bodies had been sitting there, dogs, rats, crows, would have been feasting on the bodies. Look again at the video footage of the Ukrainian troops driving along the Corpse Line Road. Do you see any carrion-eating birds flying up from any of the bodies? Absolutely not. They aren't there. For that matter, why were some of the bodies not crushed by the Russian tanks, which withdrew from and through the town? Do you really believe that soldiers brutal enough to slaughter dozens of defenseless civilians would then be considerate enough to slow down their withdrawal from the area by carefully weaving their heavy armor around each corpse? Returning to the weather, there was, of course, rain during the 3 weeks the bodies are supposed to have laid not rotting in the road. Looking at the cardboard of green boxes of food aid packages lying near some of the clearly fresh corpses, it's clear they've not been subjected to bad weather. The presence of those packages is also, of course, another important pointer as to the truth of this matter, for they are Russian. Thus, in order to believe the Western propaganda narrative, we must swallow yet another ridiculous tall tale. The analyst has spent the last month repeatedly telling us the Russian army cannot even supply its own troops with fuel or food, but now they would have us believe that the Russians went all the trouble of taking vast quantities of emergency food parcels to the occupied suburbs of Kiev, handed them out to civilians, and then promptly shot them. On top of all this, there are four key facts, which have already received considerable attention on Telegram, the last uncensored social media platform of any size in the West. Can you believe how much we have been censored through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, though which have predictably enough been routinely ignored by the warmongering mainstream media? In other words, the only source of unfettered reporting, uncensored reporting, Telegram, is being ignored. And I'm looking at a photograph of a food parcel that the Russians brought to provide to the Ukrainians. Here are key facts. First, the video of the mayor of Bucha speaking about how the Russian troops have left and that a cleanup is now underway. As a non-Russian speaker, I cannot judge for myself, but the comments by Russian speakers accompanying this video on Telegram say that he does not mention the bodies of civilians. The second fact, closely related, the video, which shows a detachment of the paramilitary Ukrainian National Police clearing the roads of burned-out and abandoned vehicles, and again, there is no sign of the bodies that appeared on the streets the following day. Third, perhaps most devastating of all, the white armbands on the number of bodies. These are clearly shown in the main video of Ukrainian troops driving along the corpse-strewn road. And they're also visible on several of the bodies of victims of torture and murder in cellars in Bucha. The fact that Ukrainian forces wear blue armbands while Russian troops wear white is universally accepted. A number of videos from various parts of the conflict zone also show civilians wearing white armbands as a sign either of sympathy with the Russians or at least of neutrality. Thus, the appearance of white armbands on the victims of the Bucha massacre is overwhelming evidence that the victims were ethnic Russians. They were murdered not by Russian troops, who of course were sent in with a key aim of stopping the persecution of Russian speakers by racist neo-Nazis, but by Ukrainians. This should come as no surprise, for the whole history of Ukrainian nationalism is based on the mass murder of unclean and subhuman civilians from other ethnic groups. Most notably, the Poles of Volhyn in eastern Galicia, Jews, Hungarians, Romanians, and, of course, Russians. Finally, we come to the video clip from the streets of Bucha, which was posted and then removed from the social media code of the known Ukrainian neo-Nazi botman. There are guys, he's asked, with blue armbands. Can we shoot them? F yeah, he says. F yeah, shoot them. Without blue armbands, can we shoot them? Yes. The truth of the massacre is so clear that we can see why Western leaders such as Boris Johnson are so adamant there should not be a proper international investigation into the crime. How absurd is that? Obviously, you're going to make a big to-do about this if you believe it's real. You want an international investigation. You want to bring this to the International Criminal Court. After all, Russia has denied it happened. So why aren't the Western leaders championing an investigation? Because they know it's fake. Instead, they are using the most blatant fake news to justify imposing another round of sanctions pain on their own people and to excuse us sending up billions of pounds, dollars, and euros worth of high-tech weapons in order to prolong the war. One has to wonder about the scale of the kickbacks these real war criminals are getting from their military-industrial complex cronies. Absolutely sensational stuff. Fascinating indeed. Meanwhile, Russia has been warning against games around its Western enclave. And by the way, if you want to see that article, if you want to see the photographs that accompany it, they're just published on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, jamesfetzer.org. This is a classic case of disinformation, similar to claiming, you know, that the Nazis had Belgian babies on their rifles. I mean, it's just outrageous, on their bayonets. I mean, this is just classic propaganda. It's complete bullshit. It's got no facts about it. The Russians had already pulled out. The mayor was happy. He was saying this was a great day for liberation. No comment of any massacre. It was only days later after the Ukrainians had come in, and they began slaughtering anyone who wasn't sufficiently Ukrainian or whom they regarded as pro-Russian. Outrageous. I think it may very well be the incident that precipitates World War III. So I'm telling you, don't take anything for granted. The mainstream media is lying at such a rate here, so overwhelming in their lies, that I have a report that Russia has even been given the boot out of the UN Human Rights Commission. That's insane. Russia is the only moral actor in this matter. No one in the West, not NATO, not the United States, not the UK, not France. They're all corrupt. Russia is acting on principle. Russia is acting to protect the national security of a sovereign state. Russia. Go back and read Putin's statement of February 24th, which has received virtually no coverage in the Western press, but it's on my blog. This was the very day of the intrusion into Ukraine. He referred to the West as an empire of lies. You can hardly have a better confirmation than to attribute a massacre perpetrated by Nazi Ukrainian troops on Russia. When the Russians were there to protect the people, they were going out of their way to minimize civilian damage. The Russians were. Meanwhile, the Ukrainians were shelling schools and hospitals in order to claim the Russians were doing civilian war crimes. They were not. They were even bringing humanitarian aid. They were bringing food, which, as observed, contradicted the narrative that Russia's out of food and fuel. None of the above is true. Notice Wesley Clark talking about the encirclement. He's an excellent military mind. And while Wesley Clark has made his share of mistakes, no doubt, I think his assessment is correct. Meanwhile, Russia warns against games around its Western enclave. Foreign Deputy Minister Alexander Grushko hopes that common sense will not allow Europe to blockade Kaliningrad. Moscow has cautioned neighboring European countries against the closure of their borders with Russia and Belarus, pointing out that such a scenario would mean the blockade of Russia's westernmost enclave, Kaliningrad. Earlier this week, Latvian and Lithuanian officials made statements regarding the possible closure of their borders with Russia and Belarus in response to Moscow's military operation in Ukraine. This is the way in which wars come about. World wars on a massive scale, a world war so massive that you will not believe the consequences. In fact, you will probably not be around to disbelieve it. You'll have already been disintegrated. You'll have already been vaporized. Believe me, Russia has a capability of taking out the West, taking out NATO. It's been fortifying and preparing itself for a war it does not want to fight for 40, 50 years. The West, on the other hand, with its corrupt contractors, has been producing weapons that are malfunctioning, that have deliberately designed to not work properly so that the contractors can get maintenance contracts that double their profits. Wednesday, commenting on the matter, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Grushenko expressed hope that common sense would prevent Europeans from playing with fire. Such a measure would deprive Kaliningrad residents of the opportunity to reach Russia's main territory by land. I very much hope such common sense in Europe will not allow any games to be played around Kaliningrad. I think many people understand this is playing with fire. He means it. The one guy here whose word you can take to the bank is, in fact, that of Vladimir Putin. The Russians are serious. They are truth speakers. The Westerns are liars and frauds and phonies and fakes and may cost us our very lives. More after the break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I think we may now have the straw that breaks the camel's back. Mitchell has just shared with me a brand new article from Zero Hedge, which is an extremely good source of reliable information. NATO member Slovakia announces transfer of S-300 anti-air system to Ukraine. Now the S-300 is a Russian made. They have the best anti-missile systems in the world. The S-400, the S-500 are even better. But this is an enormous escalation and provocation. I do not believe Putin can not respond to this. And because Slovakia is a NATO nation, one of the very many that in violation of the most solemn agreements ever entered into between the West and Russia, with the demise of the Soviet Union, the dissolution, we declared that the West would not encroach a single inch to the east with all those newly sovereign nations that had formerly been part of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and yet we've done it again and again and again. At the time of those agreements, there were 16 NATO nations. Now there are 30. They've all come by turning those former Soviet bloc nations into NATO nations. This is totally unacceptable. This is a total violation of these agreements. Mikhail Gorbachev would never have entered into an agreement with Ronald Reagan to dissolve the Soviet Union but for the assurance that there would be respect for these nations as independent. There'd be no militarization, no politicalization, no conversion into NATO nations. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost. This is what we have sown. This is what we have brought about. We've escalated the military threat to Russia that Russia has no choice but to defend itself against the aggression. And this is the latest act. And I tell you, based upon my own knowledge of military history as a former officer in the Marine Corps, I'm telling you, this is a major development. I repeat. Because this may be the reason why you might as well bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. NATO member Slovakia announces transfer of S-300 anti-air system to Ukraine in a hugely provocative announcement. Slovakia on Friday has said the NATO country has donated its S-300 air defense system to Ukraine to help it defend against Russian aggression. According to a statement from Prime Minister Eduard Heger, the official Slovakian NATO Twitter account also confirmed it's stepping up its support to Ukraine by sending the S-300 air defense system to Ukraine so it can defend itself against ongoing Russian aggression, which we know has been grossly exaggerated by fake news, false stories, exaggerated report, total propaganda like the Bucha bullshit. Here's a tweet, Slovakia NATO. Slovakia is stepping up and support Ukraine. We send S-300 air defense system to Ukraine so it can defend itself against ongoing Russian aggression. This would not be possible with the help of our allies in securing our own defense. #WeAreNATO, #StrongerTogether. Where have you heard that before? Slovakia's defense ministry even published video of what appears to be a mobile S-300 being readied and pulling out of a military base. So far, it appears a single unit will be given to Ukrainian forces. Prime Minister Eduard Heger has said his country donated its Soviet-era defense system to Ukraine. The announcement came as he visited the Ukrainian capital with top EU officials before a meeting with President Zelensky. So it appears NATO is inching little by little toward a potential no-fly zone over Ukraine, given the S-300 is precisely the type of major equipment that would be needed. Russia's reaction will without doubt be fierce, given this initial somewhat symbolic first step toward that possible end. Here's another Twitter tweet. Jaro Nat. Slovakia has donated SA-10, S-300 air defense system to Ukraine to strengthen their self-defense against illegal, illegitimate aggression. Except that if you read Putin's statement of February 24th, you can see it was completely and fully justified. I endorse what Putin is doing. I have no doubt whatsoever this is legitimate within the framework of international law for him to take this action, described as a special military operation. Slovakia has donated SA-10, S-300 air defense system to Ukraine to strengthen their self-defense against illegal, illegitimate aggression. Thanks to allies' strength and presence, Slovakia's defense and defense remain strong. Again, #WeAreNATO, @ArmadaSR. The Associated Press is noting this comes as a direct response to Zelensky saying, urging the West to close the skies for Russian aircraft over Ukraine. Zelensky mentioned S-300s by name when he spoke to U.S. lawmakers by video last month, appealing for defense systems that would allow Ukraine to close the skies to Russian warplanes and missiles. The action also comes after foreign ministers of NATO met in Brussels Thursday where they reportedly agreed to give Ukraine new and heavier weapons, though without defining which precise weapon systems were under consideration. Russia has vowed it's ready to attack as legitimate targets any external weapon shipments intercepted from outside powers. S-300 transfers certainly bring NATO and Russia on a more direct collision course, and it's unclear the degree to which other NATO allies signed off on this provocative delivery. Russia cannot allow this to stand. Cannot. Meanwhile, while the West proclaims itself to be a democracy, and while the European Union is supposed to be representative thereof, get this. The European Union moves to sanction Hungary for voting the wrong way in Sunday's election. Chris Menahan, again, from Information Liberation. Less than 48 hours after Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban was reelected in a landslide, the EU announced it's going to trigger a never-before-used mechanism aimed at cutting tens of billions of euros in funding to Hungary for violating so-called democratic norms. Why? By electing the president of their choice by Hungarian voters? There's no allegation of a voting fraud here. Why aren't they directing this at the Democrats in the United States? This is insane. Richard Hanana tweeted, more than 200 international observers monitored the election along with thousands of volunteers from across the political spectrum. Turnout hit 68.69%, almost matching the record number of voters in the last national elections. Amazing how little democracy exists in Hungary. Citing the BBC report that the EU considers that the election has undermined Hungary's democratic institution. I mean, this is just disgusting. I lived in Duluth, Minnesota for 19 years. Duluth had the highest voter participation of any city in the United States. It was almost exactly the same as the turnout in Hungary here. It was about 70%. And yet, if you look at the way the Democrats count votes, we had many cities that had over 100% participation. They had more ballots than they had voters available to cast them. And yet you're going to be demonized, even called a domestic terrorist, if you challenge the legitimacy of the 2020 election when the enormity of the theft was simply overwhelming. In his 12 years in power, Mr. Orban has rewritten the Constitution, filled the top courts with his appointees, and changed. This is according to the BBC, and changed the electoral system to his advantage. What would that be like? Redrawing voting districts, which we do on a regular basis, and it's well known. Different parties try to do it to their advantage. It's why the Iowa model has been proposed, where you have a panel of retired judges who determine the campaign districts. During the campaign, the opposition's catchphrase was Orban or Europe. Their candidate, Peter Markizay, argued that Hungary should join Poland, the UK, and others in supplying arms to Ukraine, and if called upon, and only within a NATO framework, should even go further. Here's a Richard Hanaya tweet again. In case you have any doubt this democracy nonsense is fake, one of the reasons EU is mad at Orban is because he allowed mail-in voting without an ID. The Intergovernmental Security Group took the rare step of dispatching 316 observers on Sunday. It found the last election in 2018 free but not fair, citing restricted media freedom and state funding for Mr. Orban's ruling party in Brussels. The EU has been weighing whether to cut funding for Hungary, with European lawmakers arguing that Mr. Orban has used a majority in parliament to rewrite election law, redraw voting districts, and permit mail-in balloting. Wow. I mean, what the Democrats want here is mail-in balloting. They claim that's voting fairness, but it allows them to rig elections. It's remarkable that Orban was elected under those circumstances when the prospect for theft of elections using mail-in ballots is so overwhelming, and yet you have nearly a 70% participation rate. Here's another from Politico Europe, another tweet. Breaking. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced today that Hungary will be the first country to face proceedings under the Commission's powerful new mechanism to cut funding to countries that erode the bloc's rule of law standards. EU launches process to slash Hungary's funds over rule of law breach, the first country under the new powers. Well, that's going to help a lot, right? That's certainly going to make Putin feel a whole lot better about what he's dealing with here. I mean, give us a break. Believe it or not, there are other stories in the news today. Here's one. I mean, we're so concerned about the borders in Poland. How about the borders right here in the United States? Leaked DHS document says U.S. plans to offer broad-scale release mechanism for illegal aliens. A leaked Department of Homeland Security plan published this week shows senior officials being told the removal of Title 42 would lead to an increase in illegal immigration, and one way to respond is to release many apprehended illegal aliens into the U.S. interior. In other words, simplify their responsibilities by taking illegals into custody by simply releasing them, catch and release. A new 115-page document dated February 17th, published by Breitbart, is titled DHS Southwest Border Mass Irregular Migration Contingency Plan. The plan was being put in place to comply with an earlier executive order from President Biden. I mean, the phrase is just, you know, makes my mouth retch. That directed officials to create a framework to address the causes of migration and to manage migration in addition to providing safe and orderly processing of illegal immigrants claiming asylum once they cross into the U.S. I mean, all of this is just fantastic. He is allowing millions into the United States. He is changing the demographics of the United States permanently. Permanently. There's nothing transitory, transient, or temporary about this whatsoever. This is going to permanently change the United States. The plan activates the eventual recession of Title 42 public health order that will likely cause a surge in irregular immigration and have a direct impact on short-term holding and processing capacity along the U.S.-Mexico border that will stem in part from the perception that restrictions to entry will be reduced, as they will have been. Top Biden officials on April 1st, you'd think it was April Fool's Day joke, announced the decision to rescind the order, which has allowed for the quick expulsion of illegal immigrants since March 2020 due to concerns they carry the virus causing COVID-19. Actually, it's enabled customs to return somewhere between 50 and 55%. So we've only had half as many as we would have had were it not for this Rule 42, Title 42 being in place. So now we're taking that away. As many as 450,000 illegals could arrive along what the DHS calls the Southwest Border Security and irregular migration zones of operation stretching from the southern U.S. border through Central America in a 30-day period. That could lead to multiple surges of 10 to 20,000 migrants hitting different locations at the same time. DHS, which already dealt with a record level of illegal migration during Biden's first year, says ways to remove illegal immigrants will be now limited. And that they are, apart from pandemic-era powers, that are being erased. That will lead to using broad-scale release mechanisms like issuing notices to appear in court or even releasing migrants without a court notice, a practice not used before Biden took office. Nearly 95,000 illegal migrants were released in 2021 without a court notice. Officials later mailed charging documents to them. How could they do that? How would they even know where the hell they were? How would they even have an address? So that's just a fraud. Officials later mailed charging documents. They would have no idea where they were, no address to mail. That's just more bullshit. Homeland Security Secretary Alexandra Mayorkas told members of Congress in November of 2021 that the practice had been discontinued, no doubt because it was a fantasy in the first place. A DHS spokesman did not dispute the authenticity of the document, asked for comments. A spokesman in an email referred the Epoch Times, which again is another excellent, like zero hedge, reliable news source, to a portion of Mayorkas' statement when the Title 42 decision was announced. Quote, once the Title 42 order is no longer in place, DHS will process individuals encountered at the border pursuant to Title 8, which is a standard procedure we use to place individuals in removal procedures. Nonetheless, we know smugglers will spread misinformation to take advantage of vulnerable migrants. Let me be clear. Those unable to establish a legal basis to remain in the United States will be removed, Mayorkas said at the time. Complete bullshit. They got no mechanism. They don't even know where they are. They even can't even send them a letter. Representative Andy Briggs, who's a Republican from Arizona, which, of course, has been heavily assaulted here, who represents a portion of a border state, said after reviewing the report that Biden and Mayorkas, quote, have eviscerated our nation's border security and immigration enforcement apparatus through various illegitimate executive orders and memoranda. Their decisions over the past year have created an unprecedented border crisis that has led more than 2.5 million crashing our southern border, an all-time high. And now it appears their plan to address a new self-created border surge is to simply release everyone into the interior of the U.S. by lifting the Title 42 public health order. The Department of Homeland Security must either enroll all illegal aliens in the Migrant Protection Protocols program or detain them as required by law. Simply releasing them is unacceptable and illegal. But I guarantee you 100% that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, if anyone has any doubt whatsoever that the Biden administration is out to destroy the United States as we have known it, as a constitutional democratic republic, have no doubt about it. Biden and company don't give a damn about the Constitution. They don't care about laws. They're undertaking an unbelievable agenda to flood the United States and change the demographics of America permanently forever. And it's not just that the Democrats feel they need new voters after Trump wiped them out in 2020. I mean, after all, if the American people actually begin to understand what the hell is going on, they could never get another legitimate vote, which is why they're going to continue to steal elections, which is why they wanted mail-in voting, why they call that a civil rights issue. If you can't have, even most third world countries do not allow mail-in balloting because it's so obviously amenable to the theft of elections. But that's why the Democrats champion it. Without mail-in voting, they can't steal elections. They did it all over again in California, the recall. Gruesome Newsom is despised by Californians. But the Secretary of State changed the vote so you could print your own ballot at home using your own computer and send it in so the Democrats could flood the election with fake illegal ballots in order to keep Newsom in power. That's how they do it. Therefore, they don't care about what the public opinion is. They could care less. They're out to manufacture their own outcome. And sad to say, it's to destroy the USA. Have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, Matt Gaetz, a GOP congressman, runs a train over the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on his failures, where Lloyd Austin is part and parcel of the effort to destroy America by annihilating our armed forces, so we're going to be no longer capable of a military response. All we're going to have is the citizens of the United States who are armed. And I say lock and load because the time is coming, and the time is coming soon. Florida Republican Representative Getz blasted Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin over his multiple failures during his leadership of the nation's military. Why should American taxpayers fund lectures at the National Defense University that promote socialism and a strategy to combat China? Austin claimed he wasn't aware of the event, but Gates didn't let him off that easily. That's surprising because it was widely reported that the National Defense University has Thomas Piketty come, and this was the title of his lecture, Responding to China, the Case for Global Justice and Democratic Socialism. Gates took issue with how the latest military budget would be spent. What in the $773 billion you're requesting today is going to help you make assessments that are accurate in the face of so many blown calls? It's a fair question. From Afghanistan to Russia, and maybe China and Taiwan next, there seem to be a lot of wrong answers for a military with such vast resources. It's not just Biden, but his full team of military leaders going along with his politically motivated moves that are putting our nation in harm's way more each day. Absolutely stunning stuff. Stunning stuff. Pause and ask yourself, the responsibility of a president of the United States is to uphold the Constitution. He takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is not being done. Not only is Biden himself not upholding the Constitution, but those he appoints are not upholding the Constitution either. They appear to be appointed for incompetence or for their diligence and dedication to an agenda that is ultimately going to destroy the United States. Mark my words. I'm not talking about a temporary change in the situation. I'm talking about the permanent destruction of the United States as a constitutional republic. They're giving these immigrants cell phones. They're giving them a red carpet treatment. They're giving them money. They're moving them all over the country. They're discharging them, and no one has any idea where they are. This is disgusting beyond belief. Don't let yourself be played. Back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, when it comes to false flag attacks, they're not only occurring in Europe. Without any question, what happened on January 6th, which the Democrats are trying to promote as the incitement of an insurrection when it was neither. Incitement requires an inducement to commit imminent illegal acts. Trump was speaking at the Ellipse a mile and a half away. Nothing he said could have caused imminent illegal acts. Moreover, he was telling all of his followers, everyone present, to be peaceful in their protest against the theft of the election, an account that was going to take place. So there was no incitement. As a Federalist in a brilliant article published shortly thereafter made clear, there also was no insurrection. An insurrection is an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States, basically, to reject the Constitution and impose a new form of government. That's absurd. There were those who wanted there to be a discussion about the theft of the election, which was about to take place, but whereas I see it, Nancy Pelosi very skillfully had orchestrated this event for a Speaker of the House. She's in charge of the Capitol Police to ensure that at the very point where evidence was being introduced about the theft of the election, there'd be a massive disruption. This is a classic political playbook where the FBI appears to have been instrumental. It actually looks a whole lot like a CIA game plan where the FBI was a willing participant. This is the sort of thing John Brennan and Barack Obama would have come up with, where Brennan was just as disgusting and repulsive head of the CIA who undertook massive acts that were detrimental to the American people with the support and embrace of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, including the creation of ISIS in 2012, as a terrorist army that would wreak havoc throughout the Middle East, rape and murder and torture and looting, all supported by, created by the United States of America, made in the USA. Where Michael Flynn, who was then the director of the National Intelligence Agency, objected. And therefore, Brennan suggested to Obama he ought to be fired, which Obama obligingly did. This was why they had to tarnish Mike Flynn from becoming the national security advisor to Donald Trump. He was an excellent choice. He knew where the bodies were buried. He knew the skullduggery that the previous administration with Brennan and Hillary and Obama had undertaken to destroy democracy and to sow terrorism around the world, even by creating their very own terrorist army in the Middle East. And, of course, let me emphasize, Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt, M-U-N-D-T, the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948. Which precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were being used abroad by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook. In other words, Obama made it legal for the government to lie to the American people, to stage fake events, which include not only Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, and many more, but the events of January 6th. And now, just as the Bukha bullshit is being used to demonize Russia, even to have it booted out of the UN Human Rights Commission, which is just an absurdity, and may be provoking World War III, where you and I and everyone we know and love and care about are going to pay the ultimate price for the corruption of our politicians. They're trying to use January 6th, another false flag, completely manufactured, in order to, you know, tarnish Trump by appealing to an obscure provision of the 14th Amendment that says anyone who supports insurrection against the United States may not hold federal office. This is what they're doing. This was their master plan. They knew there was no way they could legitimately win another election here in the United States if it were honest. So they've had to fabricate and resort to all kinds of techniques. They've even gone after strong Republican candidates who are expressing support for those who protested on January 6th and claiming they were thereby supporting an insurrection. Courts have already been tossing those claims, but it's just a revelation of how the Democrats are scraping the bottom of the barrel in order to try to save themselves from a massive wipeout. But I have no doubt they already know their basic plan. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci telegraphed it the other day. Fauci said, this is not over yet. We may have to brace for other lockdowns in the future. Well, that's what the Democrats are going to do. With the complicity of the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, Fauci especially, they're going to declare a new, more threatening variant shortly before the midterm that requires a lockdown and that all voting be done by mail-in balloting. It's so obvious once you stop and think about it. That's what they're going to do. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, the House is going after Donald Trump and his aides and allies to try to make something out of January 6th. Why? Because that's all they got. That's all they got. House holds Trump, ex-aides Navarro, Scavino in contempt over Capitol attack probe. The Democrat-led U.S. House of Representatives approved contempt of Congress charges Wednesday against Peter Navarro and Daniel Scavino, former aides to Donald Trump, for failing to cooperate with a probe into the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Navarro, who was a top trade advisor to the former president, and Scavino, who was a deputy chief of staff, did not comply with subpoenas to appear before the House Select Committee probing the January 6, 2021 attack. Mind you, we've had House Select Committees before to reinvestigate the assassination of JFK and MLK. In 1977-78, issuing their final report in 1979. It was so bad. They tried to redo the cover-up completely. We have, you know, overwhelming evidence from Parkland of a fist-sized blowout at the back of the president's head. Fist-sized blowout. When the body was taken to Bethesda, Commander James Hume, in charge of the autopsy, actually took a cranial saw to the skull of JFK to increase the size of the wound, to in effect remove the whole back portion of his head, which is described in mathematical detail in the Bethesda autopsy report. You can find it there. I included it as an appendix in my first book on JFK assassination science, published in 1998. It was massive. And what did they do? They reconstituted the whole back of the head. So now they have photographs and drawings showing the back of the head where there's not only not the fist-sized blowout, there's not the whole back of the missing head. There isn't even a place to locate the Harper fragment. A triangular chunk of skull that was found on the grass the following day, I believe it was actually picked up from a little boy at the time, after the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to a halt to make sure JFK would be killed, during which he was hit in the back of the head, slumped forward. Jackie was looking him right in the face when he was hit by one or even two shots, one from the right front, one possibly from the right side, that caused a blowout at the back of his head, and Jack just slumped to the left. They re-edited the film, so what you see now is this very sharp merging of the two shots. So all there is that remains is from frame 312 to 313, a slight forward movement from that shot to the back of the head. And now the slump to the left is actually a rather jerky back into the left motion because they excised too many frames. Well, this is how they do it with a House Select Committee. Then they of course, we have these investigations, these commissions, a Warren Commission, you have the 9/11 Commission, all whitewash, all cover up. If you have any doubt about it, take a look at my more serious reports on the matter. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Look at my Real Deal special report on 9/11 in memory of Robert David Steele. Or look at my November 18th. Report on JFK in anticipation of Oliver Stone's new film, JFK Revisited, being released. Well, we've discovered by a rather thorough and painstaking review, there's nothing in Oliver Stone's new film we didn't already know by 1980, when David Lifton's brilliant book, Best Evidence, was published. Okay? So this is what the government does. It lies to the American people again and again and again. Returning to Navarro and Scavino, House members backed the charges against the two men by 220 to 203 to refer the matter to the Department of Justice for a decision on whether to press criminal charges. Only two Republicans joined the Democrats in the voting in favor. Scavino and Navarro have argued their communications are protected by executive privilege, though many legal experts have said the principle does not apply to former presidents. Biden's administration has denied executive privilege to former Trump aides. Contempt of Congress bears a penalty of up to a year's imprisonment and a fine of up to $100,000. Republicans lined up to object before the vote, accusing Democrats of waging a political war. Democrats are using the power of the federal government to jail their political opponents, said House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy. Absolutely right. 100% correct. The House backed contempt charges last year for Steve Bannon. He was charged in a case set to go to trial in July. The chamber also voted for a contempt charge for Mark Meadows, former House member who became Trump's chief of staff. But there's been no word from Justice on whether charges will be filed. The Democrat-led Select Committee has been investigating events leading to the assault on the seat of the U.S. government on January 6th when Vice President Pence and lawmakers gathered to certify Biden's victory in the November 2020 election. After Trump claimed at a rally his defeat was a result of fraud, the Capitol was overrun. with protesters injuring police officers and sending Pence lawmakers, staff, and journalists fleeing to safety. They can't even get the timeline right. Trump spoke at the Ellipse until 1:11 p.m. The events at the Capitol began at 12:45. If Trump hadn't even finished speaking until 1:11, how could the Capitol be overrun by those who were attending the rally? It cannot have been. Plus, he was telling them it'd be peaceful. By 12:55, they were already calling for reinforcements. By 1 o'clock, again, long before any Trump supporters could have been there, the Capitol was sprawling with chaos, and we had, you know, a whole lot of FBI agents who were present, who were egging him on, including especially a guy named Ray Epps. This is all disgusting because our FBI has become completely politicized. Let me say, by the way, I'm opening the lines for callers early now, once again. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call. When you come on, I just need your first name and your state to join the conversation. Now we have a rather surprising development. Ivanka Trump went behind Donald Trump's back to cooperate with Democrats on this big betrayal, or so we're being told. Donald Trump will not like the news. All hell is going to break loose. Ivanka went behind Trump's back to cooperate with Democrats on this big betrayal. She has voluntarily testified, volunteered to testify before the January 6th Select Committee. Trump fought several legal battles, claiming his aides did not have to testify by asserting executive privilege. Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin, an election liar, who falsely claimed the 2016 results were not legitimate when Trump beat Hillary, praised Ivanka for cooperating. Chair Bernie Thompson said afterward she was a cooperative witness. It appears she may have already testified. In that sense, she exemplifies the vast majority of those we've contacted who've come before the committee who have told exactly, in a lot of cases, mostly what they know in other cases, essentially people are cooperating. Raskin claimed hundreds of Republicans lined up to testify to blame Trump for inciting the events of January 6th, which, as I've already explained, is an absurdity. The remarkable thing to me is how many want to testify to unburden themselves and tell the truth about what took place that fateful day. Raskin gleefully played up the divide in the GOP between the establishment and swamp rhinos who believe they could use January 6th to exile Trump from American political life, and those who still question the outcome of the 2020 election and maintain the Democrats are running a witch hunt against Trump and his supporters, about which there can be no serious doubt. The people who are most ferociously sticking to the big lie are the ones who are least likely to cooperate. The ones for trying to maintain the pretense for Donald Trump won the election that January 6th was, you know, rioters presenting flowers and hugs and kisses to the officers, an obvious straw man. Those are the ones who are refusing to participate. Then there are some who seem to want to rejoin the rule of law and the constitutional democratic framework. I think it's also good this major schism has erupted within the ranks of the Republicans. The goal is to create grounds for criminal charges against Trump that would block him from running for president in 2024. Many Trump supporters will be shocked that Ivanka voluntarily cooperated in this effort. Though, you know, Ivanka, I would say almost certainly would have been testifying that her father had nothing to do with it. I cannot imagine anything Ivanka would have to say about her father that wouldn't fit within that framework. Meanwhile, of course, we have the confirmation of Katanya Brown Jackson for the Supreme Court. This is, in my opinion, not a good development. Three Senate Republicans voted with Democrats Thursday to make Katanya Brown Jackson the first black female Supreme Court justice. The vote yesterday was 53-47 to confirm her as an associate justice of the Supreme Court. Three Senate Republicans, Mitt Romney of Utah, Susan Collins of Maine, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, voted to confirm her for the court. Romney failed to explain to Breitbart why he opposed making Kejani Brown Jackson a federal circuit judge last year, but then voiced his support for her to become a Supreme Court justice this. Collins voted against confirming a Republican president's nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, for the court, and voted to confirm Jackson as a justice Thursday. Senate conservatives raised significant concerns about Jackson's judicial philosophy and her alleged soft-on-crime record. She refused to say if she holds a position on whether individuals have natural rights. That's pretty peculiar. Breitbart's Wendell Husabo reported Jackson sentenced those in possession of child pornography to nearly 60% less time than the national average. Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri, Ted Cruz of Texas, and others raised those concerned with Jackson during the confirmation hearing. She had also disagreed with an expert witness definition of pedophilia during a hearing while serving as the vice chair of the U.S. Sentencing Commission. The then Supreme Court Justice nominee could not answer a question from Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee about if she could define woman, claiming she is not a biologist. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a former Judiciary Committee chair who voted previously to confirm him as a federal circuit judge, said in a statement after the vote, "My no vote was based upon Judge Jackson's record of judicial activism, flawed sentencing methodology regarding child pornography cases, and a belief that she will not be deterred by the plain meaning of the law when it comes to liberal causes. I found Judge Jackson to be a person of good character, respected by her peers, someone who's worked hard to achieve her current position. However, her record is overwhelming in its lack of a steady judicial philosophy and a tendency to achieve outcomes in spite of what the laws require or common sense would dictate. After a thorough review of Judge Jackson's record and information gained at the hearing from an evasive witness, I know why Judge Jackson was the favorite of the radical left," he added. I think in this instance that Lindsey Graham got it right. So he's a very strange bird politically, and often I find his positions to be inexplicable. Meanwhile, Mark Thiessen, whom I admire as a political commentator, has published the following opinion piece. If Clarence Thomas has to recuse himself, what about Joe Biden? Here is the question. If Justice Clarence Thomas has to recuse himself on cases related to the January 6th Capitol riot because of his wife, who did a lot of tweets about it, including contact with Mark Meadows and so forth at the time, does that mean President Biden has to recuse himself on China and Ukraine because of his son and brother? Of course, presidents never recuse themselves, but the fact that Democrats are crying foul over the Thomases while ignoring the Bidens shows their concern about ethics is just cover for another attempt at takedown of a respected conservative jurist. The Post recently confirmed the authenticity of Hunter Biden's emails, which show that a Chinese energy conglomerate linked to the Chinese Communist Party and the People's Liberation Army paid $4.8 million to entities controlled by Hunter and his uncle James Biden, Joe's brother, for energy projects that never came to fruition. And we already knew that while then Vice President Joe Biden was in charge of Ukraine policy in the Obama-Biden administration, his son was receiving as much as $50,000 a month from a Ukrainian energy company by banking on his father's name. That seems to be a far more serious conflict of interest than Virginia Ginny Thomas saying a bunch of text messages to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, spouting conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. And I dare say virtually everything she claimed to be the case was the case. These weren't merely conspiracy theories. They were facts about the theft of the election. Her texts were extreme, but essentially harmless. She does not sit on the Supreme Court or hold any position of public authority. She was a private citizen expressing her personal political views. Her husband is not responsible for his wife's personal views or political activism. If her text messages require him to recuse himself, how much more so does Hunter Biden earning millions of dollars from China and Ukraine require Joe Biden to recuse himself? The Post reports that it did not find evidence that Joe Biden personally benefited from her new details about his son and brother's financial engagement with communist China. But I can guarantee 100% that Mark Thiessen is just wrong about that. There's overwhelming evidence. There's lots of stuff about the big guy. The big guy got 10%. We know the big guy was Joe Biden. There's a whole lot coming out that's in the emails that is making the rounds. So in this instance, I dare say, Mark Thiessen has this particular point wrong. There is a Justice Department investigation under Biden, so we'll see whether such evidence emerges, but it already has. There is no concrete evidence, however, that Clarence Thomas knew details about his wife's January 6 activism or shared her views. Thomas's critics say that doesn't matter. Even if he did not know, he must recuse himself because her activism creates the appearance of a conflict of interest. Well, the same is true of Hunter and James Biden's business dealings in Ukraine and China. The Code of Federal Regulations states that when an executive branch official has a relative with whom the employee has a close personal relationship and the circumstance would cause a reasonable person with knowledge of the relevant facts to question his impartiality, the employee should not participate in the matter. Does Hunter and his uncle accepting $4.8 million from the entities linked to China's government and army create a circumstance in which a reasonable person would question his father's impartiality? No doubt about it. Meanwhile, remember, I've already opened the lines to calls. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I'll be glad to field your calls when we come back from the break. Just give us your first name and your state. Back then.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're having a first caller here. He's become quite a regular. Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, yeah, Jim. Hey, you're going to have to change your bumper music when we all go together, because nukes are fake now, right?
I've never suggested that. I like the earlier. Yeah. I like the earlier Tom Lear. It's more relevant today than ever before, which is why I use it so regularly. But we also need help. So I think they're both appropriate, Bruce. Yeah, no, I appreciate what you meant and the humor intended. Go for it.
Yeah, I just sent you an email a little while ago, so you might want to check it just so you have the information. I'm looking at a tweet here by Mr. Garland Nixon. Evidently, he's a White House insider or something. We have to investigate him. I haven't had the time. Breaking news. U.S. State Department officials leaked that when asked what benefit we gain from freezing and starving the EU with Russia sanctions, Victoria Nuland responds, less Europeans.
Victoria Nuland just responds, that's your opinion?
No, less European, less white people.
Oh, here I see it. I see it. You sent me a tweet from Garland Nixon. Breaking news. U.S. State Department official leaked that when asked what benefit we gained from freezing and starving the EU with Russian sanctioned, Victoria responded, less Europeans. That is disgusting, Bruce. That is really bad. But it's consistent with the person we know her to be. She's an avid Zionist. She and her husband are neocons. They represent the interests of Israel, not the United States. They would like to see a war between the U.S. and Russia, NATO and Russia. Or NATO is going to not like the outcome, Bruce. Thank you for sending that. Yes, I'll definitely follow up and include that in future newscasts about what's going on. I appreciate it. More. Tell me more.
Yeah, you know, on his pushing, you know, Soviet-era weapons into the Ukraine, of course, it's going to keep the pot boiling. And also, you know, on the backside, look at the military-industrial complex. They're going to be backfilling all the bullets for weapons. So they're going to make a killing,
Bruce,
off the government printing press, you know? I mean, it's just
Bruce, Bruce, you need to get back just a bit from your microphone. It garbles your words when you're so close. Just a tad, just like an inch further back, it works better. Repeat your last observations, please.
The pushing of weapons into the Ukraine, the Soviet-era weapons.
Yes.
But that's new is enabling the military-industrial complex to sell new weapons to replace the old ones that are sent away.
Sure. But the fact that Slovakia, which is a member of NATO, is doing this bodes very ill for the future here, because Putin cannot allow these NATO countries to participate by providing very sophisticated weapons. Those are not an example, but others are. Apparently, the UK has provided weapons that are super fast anti-aircraft systems. And they've already taken down at least one Russian fighter plane, which is probably why Putin, really it's his military commanders who are running the shop. Putin himself wouldn't be doing it directly. But he has excellent, very competent military. No doubt they're not doing this, flying more planes, because they run the risk with all these Stinger missiles, which we supplied, remember. Osama bin Laden was our man in Afghanistan. He was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen, which they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes. He was actually an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman, who was visited by an official of the agency in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan where he died on 15 December 2001, buried in an unmarked grave in accordance with Muslim traditions. By the 26th, both CNN and Fox News were reported that Osama bin Laden was dead, but it was politically expedient for Barack Obama to resuscitate him and have him die again in a stage raid on a compound in Pakistan, so he could position himself for a triumphal reelection as the man who got the most wanted man in the world, but was all fake. In fact, everything about Obama is fake. Everything about the Democratic Party today is fake. It's all fake. It's all bullshit. The problem is some of this bullshit may get us all wiped out in a nuclear exchange. It is going to be devastating and probably it has a potential to extinguish all life on Earth. That would be an ironic way to achieve the globalist genocidal goal of reducing the population of humanity. They just might succeed to the point where life is no longer sustainable on Earth. Bruce, I'm sorry to say, but that's the grim outlook of the outline of the situation we're in. Further thoughts, yours?
No, yeah, I agree. That's the worst case scenario, could become a reality. I think Putin kind of, he wanted to do the war in a limited fashion to try to be up, you know, above board and show a little bit of humanity by just limiting the operation to the Donbass. But in light of how the West has organized against him, he should have just did like, you know, look at what he did to Soleimani. Just took him out with a drone. That's what he should have did to Zelensky. Decapitate the head. Blast them away, and then have a huge offensive and catch NATO off guard.
Well, we may disagree. We may disagree about Soleimani, and my judgment, Soleimani was a great general, hero to the whole Middle East. He was instrumental in defeating the Israelis in their last intrusion into Lebanon, assisting Hezbollah in bringing about the defeat of the fourth most powerful army in the world. He was on a humanitarian mission at the request of the Department of State. He was supposed to be there on a peace mission.
I agree totally. I'm saying just that's our tactic. He should have used our tactics. Because, you know,
Bruce, I get it. Yes. And you're saying if he would do it in that case to actually a good guy, in my opinion, this was an unforgivable act by Donald Trump. At the request of Bibi Netanyahu, who he violated Iraqi sovereignty. He disgraced the United States. This was a peace mission initiated by the Department of State. This is very analogous to Hillary's taking out Muammar Gaddafi when he was traveling in a convoy to a location designated by the Department of State, and Hillary had the convoy interdicted and Gaddafi brutally murdered and sodomized with a bayonet. Stand by, Bruce. We have a second caller again. Okay. Another. Stand by. Okay. We have another familiar voice, Paul. Paul from California. Join the conversation, Paul.
Well, I'm just going to reconfirm our bet here. 2024 is the cutoff date for no nuclear war, right, Jim? $50 to me if no nuclear war by 2024.
You got it.
Good, good. So, you know, again, I just would urge the two of you, because I know that neither one of you has read Death Hoax by Akio Nakatani. You can do so online. I believe that neither one of you has read Miles Mathis' PDF on Trinity. Do so. Okay, do so, and then tell us all how real nuclear weapons are. You know, here's the thing. I'm willing to move on this if I see more evidence, but basically film and movies such as Dr. Strangelove and, you know, movies of mushroom clouds don't prove anything. And I'll just point out one interesting thing. It's well known. You can look into this yourself because it's been looked into by many investigators. There's lots of different articles and videos and stuff online, websites as well. So vegetation, you know, regular plants, trees, flowers were all growing in Hiroshima, you know, the next growing season without an issue. There's all sorts of other anomalies for, you know, both Hiroshima and Nagasaki that don't make any sense if a so-called nuclear weapon was detonated above those cities. So, again, I urge you to hold open the possibility. So either way, I will go with this. If there are nuclear weapons and they're real, there's no way they're going to be used. This is all juke theater, and it's just something to keep us scared. And I think that making claims and statements like exterminate all life on Earth is just an absurdity, and you should not do so.
Look, Paul, I respect your opinion, but you got to respect mine. That's the way I see it. I think your stance on nuclear weapons is frankly absurd, just completely absurd. And I only wish that nuclear weapons did not exist. Nuclear energy is a perfect illustration. Do you also deny we have nuclear power? Paul, listen to me. The fact we got nuclear energy power plants is an indication that the atom, whether we're fusing them or splitting them, is a source of immense energy. There is a whole history and convention having. Paul, I know you're gonna maintain your stance no matter what. I respect you. You come on, you say your piece, let it go. I'm not gonna allow you to come on and endlessly repeat something, not because I disagree
you're
with
the
it,
one
because,
who
because you're being
repeat.
Repetitive.
Oh, so I'm the one. You're not repetitive. I am. You haven't read.
Okay, Paul.
So why don't you do so before you continue to run your mouth? That's
Paul,
my suggestion.
Paul, you're running your mouth a little excessively here. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
For God's sake,
right.
I give you plenty of air time. My God.
All right, I'll cool down.
But it's more time than anyone else.
You know how sometimes, Jim, you've said, and I take it in stride, you've talked about my manner and my stance and, you know, some of the other, you know, shall we call, I guess the, you know, what's the best way that I can phrase it? You know, the way that I come across. So, you know, it goes both ways. When you are very strident in your position and you're very assertive and you repeat the same things over and over without having access to the material that I've suggested or recommended, it comes across as, you know, shall we say, pedantic, I guess would be the best word. So, you know, again, you know, I apologize for my, you know, my tone on occasion.
Wow. Look, Paul, I'm glad to take a look when I have the opportunity. I'm in the midst of preparing a cert for the Supreme Court. That's got to preoccupy my time. At some point, I will take a look at this. But in my opinion, the evidence is simply overwhelming. Do you also support a flat earth? Because I would put that in the same category. But I'm going to look. I've looked at evidence. Flat earth doesn't count, doesn't add up. You can even see the curvature of earth from airplanes. Plenty of people. It's low earth. What do you tell me, Paul? Are you a flat earther?
Jim, we've been over this before. Here's what I'll say. You remember my so-called infamous call where I said, that if you, you know, proclaim the flat earth, you say Hitler was one of the greatest men ever and that nuclear weapons don't exist, I would donate to your fund for your legal defense. Do you remember that call?
Not the Hitler part. I mean, I think Hitler's got a bad press, but that doesn't mean he's one of the greatest figures in history, Paul. I think that's a straw man. You're exaggerating my position to make it easier to refute.
No. I'm just recounting a phone call I made. It was mostly made in humor, but I listed three things that were conditions I would contribute to your fund. Of those three, okay, the flat earth, nuclear weapons, and Hitler was one of the greatest men in history, the only one that I have any doubt about is nuclear weapons. There's zero doubt about we're not on a spinning ball, and extremely intelligent people have come to the same conclusion. You just haven't grasped it yet.
It's complete bullshit. This is embarrassing. Aristarchus in 200 B.C. proved the Earth was a circumference. Every object in space is... Paul, honest to God, I just don't have time for this nonsense. I respect you, but I'm going to give you the boot today. Okay, some other time.
It's,
Kent from Minnesota.
It's not nonsense. I got one other thing for
dump. Paul, I just don't have time for this today, Paul. There are too many.
Quit running your mouth about
drop him. Mitchell, drop
the word you. How about that?
Just cut him off. Ken from Michigan. Ken, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Jim. I think the one thing that mankind does good is war. They can make some stuff that can blow things clear to high heaven. Do you remember that explosion in Beirut? Now, if that wasn't a mini nuke, it was on YouTube, and you remember that? Where it was like, first they said it was a fertilizer fire, and then all of a sudden there was this big mushroom cloud.
Yeah, the Bali bombing, Ken, is another example. That was a mini nuke. The destruction of the Twin Towers, that was done with mini nukes. I don't know. Paul, I think he's a terrific guy, very smart, but sometimes, you know, in pursuit of a will of the wisp, he gets carried away. And when we have so much other real issues before us, I just don't have the time for it. I mean, for crying out loud. Go ahead, Ken. You're making a lot of sense. Tell us more.
President Trump was saying that a lot of the nuclear explosives that we have that were made over 50 years ago have probably become no good anymore. You know, they've been dismantled by the age. Maybe the fusion is have you heard that before?
You mean old nukes? Yeah, nukes have to be maintained so that nukes that have been around a while, if they're not maintained, they are no longer a functional. I've heard that actually there are a lot of nukes that the U.S. can neutralize that we have, as it were, a kill switch. But, you know, I only wish nuclear weapons were not real. I only wish. I'm sorry to say, I not only do I not believe it, but even though I've not reviewed what Paul claims to be his best evidence, I'm going to be very surprised if I find it persuasive. So we got at least four instances you're talking about in Lebanon, in Bali, the Twin Towers, the North and the South Tower, all examples of the use of mini nukes. These are fourth and fifth generation weapons. They have lower radiation. A key element of the use of nukes is converting materials into very fine dust. And those who, want to insist that it was done using thermite don't seem to understand that it's not even physically possible for thermite to have done the job, because in order to decimate concrete, you have to have a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters per second. In order to decimate steel, 6,100 meters per second. But the highest detonation velocity attributed to nanothermite is only 895 meters per second, meaning you can't get there from there. It's not even possible. I regard, therefore, the nanothermite hypothesis to be part and parcel of a limited hangout. We also have, on the other hand, Judy Wood and her dues. Directed energy weapons would make more sense under the circumstance, since they might have the capacity to do comparable damage, at least to some extent, but there appears to be no aspect of the dues that cannot be explained by the nukes, and the dues cannot explain, for example, why the U.S. Geological Survey in its dust sample studies from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan discovered elements that would not have been there had it not been a nuclear event: barium, strontium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, some of which only exist in radioactive form. Paul no doubt has some accounting, you know, way to explain away even this evidence. When Judy Wood failed to take it into account, she could no longer qualify as being scientific in her approach. From that point on, she became a propagandist or a fantasist, because science requires taking into account all the available evidence. And if you get new evidence that is contrary to your old, you may have to reject hypotheses you previously accepted, accept hypotheses you previously rejected, and leave others in suspense. Not only that, but we've had a whole host of medical maladies of people, all kinds of cancers, multiple myeloma, leukemia, esophageal, pancreatic cancer, very similar to the effects that occurred at Chernobyl in the aftermath of the nuclear meltdown there. This, of course, is not evidence Paul's going to take into account, so far as I can tell. But let me just set Paul aside. He has his opinion, and he's entitled to it. I'm sharing with you the evidence from collaborative research on 9/11. I mean, it's been massive and extensive, and I have no doubt that both Judy Wood and architects and engineers have been running limited hangouts. I have some hope now for architects and engineers because they parted ways with Richard Gage. Richard Gage, in my opinion, was putting the cap on research, where he would explain that by virtue of their charter, they could not even address who was responsible and why. Judy Wood also will not address who is responsible and why. And if you don't have a narrative with which you can understand this is all a contrived event involving the CIA, neocons, and the Department of Defense and the Mossad to create a pretext alleging that it was Islamic terrorists who perpetrated the crimes, when a half a dozen or more turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British press, which David Ray Griffin makes his very first point in his magisterial book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. You got to understand, if they're alive and well the following day, they didn't die in plane crashes. In fact, I have spent enormous amount of time on all four crashes. Each of them was fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. Two of the planes weren't even in the air that day, Flight 77, Pentagon, Flight 11, North Tower, those planes were not even in the air that day. And the other two, Flight 93, Shanksville, pilots for 9/11 truth tracked it, and it was still in the air after it had allegedly crashed. It was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had allegedly crashed. Pilots have done brilliant work here. For reasons I cannot appreciate, however, they're reluctant to endorse the idea that Flight 11 didn't hit the North Tower, Flight 77 didn't hit the Pentagon, Flight 93 didn't crash in Shanksville, Flight 175 didn't hit the South Tower, which collectively are known as no plane theory. It doesn't mean we didn't see images of planes or that no planes were involved. For example, they flew a plane toward the Pentagon, and then it swerved over the Pentagon. It came in north of the Citgo station, when had it been on the official trajectory, which wasn't even aerodynamically possible for a Boeing 757 barely skimming the ground at over 400 miles an hour. Aeronautical engineers have explained to me at that speed, that plane could not have got closer than 60 or even 80 feet to the ground, where 80 feet is higher than the Pentagon at 71 feet is tall. So, you know, we're fed so much bullshit, Ken. It's unbelievable.
One thing was for sure, it definitely was a false flag that was executed to get everybody on board with going to war in the Middle East. You know, I guess we had 50-50 of the people that were against to go and don't act too fast, but, you know, like George W. Bush hated Saddam Hussein because he tried to kill his daddy, H.W.
Yeah, well.
Poppy, right?
You know, actually, a B-1 bomber pilot took out Saddam and his two sons and 60 or 80 members of the general staff on the 7th of April, just 3 weeks into the invasion. That's why they'd scheduled the mission accomplished event on the USS Lincoln off the coast of San Diego. But someone, and we believe it was Donald Rumsfeld, realized three presidents, Reagan, Carter, and Ford, had signed executive orders against the assassination of heads of foreign states. So they have to acknowledge that if we'd taken out Saddam Hussein, W would have been responsible for violating the law. That's why the whole event was such a calamity. They actually planted one of Hassan's doubles in a spider hole, claiming to find him there. Joe Viles, who was a photojournalist from Australia, was the first to notice that the teeth did not match, that Saddam had excellent teeth and a regal overbite, meaning his upper teeth extended beyond his lower. But the Saddam double had bad teeth and an underbite, which meant his lower teeth extended beyond his upper, and they were bad. There are similar features involved in distinguishing the real Paul McCartney from his double, who we collectively refer to as Fall. Real Paul, typical of many British, had bad teeth and a narrow palate. The replacement Fall is not only 4 inches taller, but had good teeth and a normal palate. So, you know, this kind of evidence is really very important in sorting things out. Go ahead.
I always thought that it would be pretty hard to replace Paul McCartney being a left-handed bass player. It's kind of rare. But
yeah,
being the musical genius that the new Paul McCartney is, he could probably play anything.
Paul was Billy Shears. He was a session musician. He was known as the man of a thousand voices. He had to learn to play the guitar left-handed. Yes, you're absolutely right. That was another difference. But there's so much about it. You know, there's a lot on Paul Fall in my book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which my series editor, Mike Palachuk, who's got a new book, you can check it out on my blog, suggested as someone might respond to the title of our first book together, namely, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, to which they might respond, yeah, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. Well, we didn't go to the moon either. Ken, I want to thank you for calling. Bruce, thanks for calling. Paul, thanks for calling. We have strenuous disagreements, but I respect your right to your opinion. And when I have the opportunity, I'll look at your evidence, but I'm telling you, I have no doubt about the existence of nukes. I only wish you and Miles Mathis and your other sources were right. Meanwhile, thank you all. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones, because, frankly, we do not know how much time we have left.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle,
Giuseppe
from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.